Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning, and it's good to see that we all remember to change our clocks. Praise the Lord. I know some of us might be dragging a little bit this morning because we lost that hour of sleep, but you know, once we get worshiping the Lord, we'll perk up, so praise the Lord for that. Before we do anything this morning, though, I'm going to go ahead and pray right now. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us this day, that thou hast given us this opportunity to come before thee, to worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thou hast abide over us, been preside over this service here today. Anoint this service, we ask. We pray that everything we do would be done according to thy perfect will. We ask that thy spirit would be here this morning. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, O God, as we sing unto thee, to truly give thee our hearts. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your melodies of praise hymnal, we're going to start with number 323 this morning, Just As I Am. Go to number 169 and sing Pass Me Not.
Pass Me Not.
the Lord.
Praise
and we do serve a God that hears our prayer. And there's no other way to get salvation but through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one true way. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 300 and sing, Look to the Lamb of God. Cheer and fill your heart with song. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. Endure your sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. We look to the Lamb of God for our salvation, and He is the very foundation of our lives. We need to be anchored in Jesus. So why don't we go to number 237 and sing, I've anchored in Jesus. I rest upon His mercy and trust
him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, and in my anchor's cast, he drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages.
And it is a wonderful thing to glorify the name of the Lord, so why don't we go to number 107 and sing Glory to His Name. Glory to His name.
side. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Then to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
We praise and magnify that wonderful name. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to number 293 and sing, Take the Name of Jesus with You. Because we do need that name.
Yeah.
That precious name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, can I get you to do that for us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy love towards us, for Thy care towards us, for Thy sustaining power, for Thy strength that Thou hast given us. For we know it is only by Thy mercy that we are here this morning. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used. For we know that these funds belong to Thee and should be used for the cause of Thy mighty name. And I ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song, but before we do that, I did get an email from John Kazula, and he is having surgery on Tuesday to correct a hernia. So we're going to go ahead and pray for him right now. He asked for prayer, so we will pray for our brother John. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning on behalf of our dear brother John, praying, O God, that Thou wouldst be with him, help him, strengthen him. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst guide and direct the doctors as they work on him, as they perform this surgery. I pray that all would go smoothly according to Thy perfect will. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst direct their hands, direct their steps, direct everything they do. And we pray for a complete recovery, a smooth recovery. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst continue to be with John, help him and guide him and direct his steps, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what. This morning it seems appropriate to just magnify the name of the Lord, because there are so many people in this world who are not doing that. And it seems especially fitting considering what we're going to be looking at in just a little while as we turn to the scriptures. So we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, and that will be number one, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. His grace and crown.
his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
It is a wonderful thing to magnify the name of the Lord. He is worthy of all our praise and all our worship. And we are going to be continuing our study. This will be part 11 of our series in Exodus. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been in the Ten Commandments. And really, it's almost as if it's a series within a series. Because we've been on Exodus chapter 20, and we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And we're going to be there a few weeks yet, I think. Lord only knows, but we're going to be continuing that, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to show us. But of course, we will start in Exodus chapter 20, as usual. And before I read even one verse this morning, I want to pray, because we do need the Lord's help. Father in heaven, I come before thee in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance and thy direction as we open thy holy word. I pray, O God, that as we look upon thy holy book, I pray these words would come alive in our hearts. I pray that they would start to work in our hearts and change us, perfect us, mold us, and shape us. Help us to draw nigh to thee, O Lord, as we study thy scriptures. For we know that when we draw nigh to thee, thou drawest nigh to us. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst be here with us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Let thy Spirit be upon us as we look upon thy word. For we know it is a privilege and an honor to look upon thy scriptures. And we are so blessed to have this book before us. I pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the Ten Commandments. And we are going to be on the third commandment this week. We will see what that is as we read. I will just quickly read through the Ten Commandments as I did last week, because, you know, it's a wonderful thing to study these. And as I read these, you know, if we do it repeatedly, we're less likely to forget them, right? Reinforcements. So, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Tells us, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago, and we know that God promised the children of Israel, if you have no other gods before me, you will be blessed. If you have other gods, if you serve other gods, the gods of the people around you, the Canaanites and so forth, you will be cursed. And we can look all throughout the history of the Israelites, and we're going to see that they went back and forth, didn't they? And verse 4 tells us, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. And of course, last week, we looked at the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And we know how important it is that we have no idols, no graven images, no molten images, no idols in our hearts. We should have no idolatry. God needs to be first and foremost in our lives. He needs to be more important than anything else to us. And verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And that's the commandment we're going to be focusing on today. And you know, it's a sad thing. It's a reprehensible thing, but all over the world, even right now, even as we stand here, there are people who are taking the Lord's name in vain. And we're going to be looking at that a little more fully, but before we do that, I'm going to finish reading these Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And we are going to be looking at that next week. We're going to have an in-depth study on the Sabbath day, what it meant back here, what it means today. And we're going to be looking at what the Scripture has to say about that. And the Scripture has a lot to say about that, so it should be quite a study. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So yes, we see again the Ten Commandments, and these are all very important. But we are going to be focusing on the third commandment today, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know, God's not going to just let that pass. He's not going to just say, oh, that's okay, I don't mind. When we stand before him on judgment day, if we've ever taken his name in vain and have not repented of it, we're going to have to answer for that. And some people, you know, you think about how many times they do that in just one day or in just 1 hour. They're going to have to answer for every single occasion when they stand before God. But what sort of people take the name of the Lord in vain? Well, let's go to Psalm 139, and we're going to have that question answered. We note that it's a very common practice. It's a very common occurrence, people taking the Lord's name in vain. And we sang about his name earlier, that precious name that deserves to be exalted and should be exalted by every man, woman, and child. But there are so many people who will not exalt that name, but instead, they take it in vain. They toss it about as an expletive and shout it out in anger. They don't honor that name, that name above every name. Psalm 139, and this is a beautiful psalm. Verse 1 tells us, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. You see, whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, God sees it all, he hears it all. There's nothing hidden from him. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and bring my line down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So the psalmist is saying, there's nothing I say that you don't know about, nothing I say that you don't hear. And when people take the Lord's name in vain, he hears it.
Amen.
Every single time. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And by hell there it means the grave. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall my hand lead me, shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Wherever we go, he's always there. God fills the universe.
Amen.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And you know, the thing about nighttime, about darkness, it seems to be that time when a lot of people like to do their evil works. That seems to be prime sinning time, because they think that their deeds will be hidden. And sometimes people may not even think about it so much, but it's a subconscious thing, something about the nighttime. You know, you go out and they do all sorts of things in the night, thinking that that darkness will hide them. But you know what? It doesn't hide them. Not from the Lord. He sees it all.
Amen.
For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He knew us even when we were in our mother's wombs, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He created us each individually. He designed us. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Praise the Lord.
And when we wake up in the morning, we need to be thinking about Jesus. When we go to sleep at night, we need to be thinking about Jesus. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain.
Amen.
Who is it who takes the name of the Lord in vain? Well, it tells us here in these scriptures that it's God's enemies. And so next time you hear somebody taking the name of the Lord in vain, you tell them, hey, it's God's enemies who take his name in vain. And a lot of those people, they might even claim to be Christians. But I tell you what, a Christian should never take the name of the Lord in vain. How could a Christian take the name of the Lord in vain? That precious name. And yet, many, many, many people do it. There are people doing it right now. It's a shameful thing. And you know, there are so many movies nowadays that are just filled with people taking the name of the Lord in vain.
Yeah.
And that is a shameful thing. You know, some of these guys, they might say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm just acting. I'm just acting, and I have to follow the script. Well, I tell you what, if you're an actor and you also claim to be a Christian and they want you to say certain things, even if it isn't a script, you should decline. Say, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to take my Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
Because it is the enemies of God that take his name in vain. Verse 21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Now those are two verses that are probably seldom read in most churches today. They want to pretend that those verses don't exist. And we need to understand that this isn't a blank check to go around hating everybody. That's not what it's referring to. But those who hate the Lord. You know, there are people out there who are sinners and they haven't yet come to God, but they don't hate him. There's a difference there. So we can't just go around hating everybody. But I tell you what, those who hate the Lord, well, that's a different story. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we see in this psalm, it is the enemies of God who take the Lord's name in vain. And if you're not an enemy of God, don't ever take his name in vain. But you know, there's more than one way to take the Lord's name in vain. It's not just using His name in anger or crying out in jest, but there are other ways that people take the Lord's name in vain. And one of the ways, a very common way, that people take the Lord's name in vain is by prophesying falsely, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord did not say thus. And that happens a lot. Even today, there are all these guys going around claiming to be prophets, and they are false prophets. And you know, it should be pretty obvious when you encounter a false prophet, because if what they're saying turns out to not come to pass, if they turn out to be wrong, you know, prophets, they don't get a second chance. If they are a prophet of the Lord, they're not going to be wrong even once. If they're a true prophet, they will not be wrong if their prophecy is from the Lord. But if they are wrong even one time, they are a false prophet. And that was a problem in Israel. They had false prophets. And of course, we know that Israel, they fell into great sin. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah now, and we're going to look at chapter 14 of Jeremiah. And yes, that is yet another way that people take the Lord's name in vain, by prophesying falsely. And there, even today, there are a lot of false prophets out there. They're all over the place. You can see a lot of them on TV. But you know, people have this tendency to be gullible. You know, people will prophesy falsely, and their audience will listen, and they say, and they'll fall all over their words. They'll heed those words, and it doesn't come to pass, does it? And you know, one of the things people will say over and over again, they'll say that the world is going to end at a certain time. They'll have a prediction about when it's going to end, and you know what? They've been wrong every single time, haven't they? They're false prophets. And just a hint here, nobody knows the day or the hour. So if anybody ever tells you, you know, that they know when the Lord's coming, rest assured they do not know. Nobody does. Nobody does except our Father in heaven. But yes, there are false prophets. And Jeremiah here, he's given a prophecy. See, he was a true prophet of the Lord. And a lot of times, true prophets are going to have things to say that aren't pleasant to hear. In fact, a lot of times they will be prophecies of judgment. That's another thing about false prophets. They always seem to prophesy good and wonderful things, don't they? Things that sound wonderful. But that's not the case here in Jeremiah chapter 14. In fact, the Lord gave Jeremiah a very hard message to deliver to the children of Judah. Jeremiah 14 verse 1 tells us, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth, Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads." Now this was a very serious problem. There was a drought. A horrible drought. They could find no water. It almost kind of sounds like California, doesn't it? You know, sometimes God does use drought as judgment, of course. Nowadays, people would never believe that because they believe that it's climate change, you know, causing that problem. And actually, I was looking at the U.S. Drought Monitor for the state of California, last updated on March 8, 2016, and the conditions there have improved somewhat, but there's still a drought of 99.57% of the land in California, and 60% of that is an extreme drought. 38% of that is exceptional drought, so that's still a big problem there in California. It's been going on for years. And people wonder, when is this drought ever going to end? It's a long one for sure. And yes, it has improved a little bit. It wasn't quite as bad as last year, but it's still pretty bad. And I tell you what, people in California, they need to seek the Lord. But we see here in Judah, they had a problem. They couldn't find any water. There was a drought, and it was a bad one. Verse 4, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. The animals couldn't find any grass to eat. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Oh yes, Israel, they did that time and time again, didn't they? They would cry out to the Lord when he judged them, and the Lord would forgive them, and he would have mercy. But then they'd go back to their old ways, serving their false gods, the gods that they were specifically told not to worship. And yet they would do it. Oh, they would backslide over and over again. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name, leave us not. So we see here Jeremiah is pleading with the Lord, don't forsake us, Lord, please, don't forsake us, Lord. But verse 10 tells us, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Now notice in verse 10, he doesn't call them my people. He calls them this people. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are so many people out there who say, I accept the Lord. But the question we should be asking is, does the Lord accept us? We see here, he tells us in this verse, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Why is God giving this message to Jeremiah? When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So God has given him a true prophecy to deliver. And Jeremiah is telling him, well, Lord, what about those other prophets? They prophesy good tidings. They say the famine's going to end, and you will not see the sword. You'll have peace in this place. But those were false prophecies, false prophets speaking in the name of the Lord, using the Lord's name in vain, saying, thus saith the Lord, but the Lord was not saying thus. Verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. They were taking the Lord's name in vain. Every time they did that, every time they opened their mouths and said, thus saith the Lord, they were taking the Lord's name in vain. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name. See, they prophesy in his name. And I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. He's saying the sword and the famine itself will consume those false prophets. So there were false prophets in Judah. And it was a very sad and horrible thing. It was a problem. But I tell you what, it's a problem in our land today too. And there are people out there who are obsessed with prophecy. But I'm going to tell you something. Not everyone who serves the Lord is called to be a prophet. Not everyone is called to be a prophet. There are some churches where you go there, people come up to you and they'll say, "Do you have a word for me?" As if you're just supposed to prophesy for them on the spot. That's not of God. That's wrong. Not everyone is called to be a prophet. We all have tasks that the Lord give us, but not everyone has been called to be a prophet. And as of yet, I've never been given a prophecy. I don't know if I ever will be. But, you know, people, if someone ever came up to me and said, "Do you have a word for me?" Well, if I didn't, I would say, no. And, you know, you shouldn't have to ask anyway. If someone has a word for you, that should just come forth if it is of God. But, you know, a lot of these prophecies that come forth are always good tidings, you know. Wonderful things are going to happen to you. Oh, you're going to win the lottery. You're going to be a millionaire. Things like that, things of that nature. Those are false prophecies. And when people do things like that, they are taking the Lord's name in vain. Verse 15, "Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them. Them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them are that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold trouble." So this was a very hard prophecy for Jeremiah to bring forth. Can you imagine having to deliver a prophecy like this? "We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things." And it's wonderful here the way Jeremiah is pleading with the Lord. And God did have a remnant that he brought out of Israel and out of Judah. And we praise the Lord for that. There's always a remnant. But God is telling them through the prophet Jeremiah, well, it's basically a pronouncement of condemnation, isn't it? And we see here Jeremiah pleading for God to keep his covenant. But you know what? God did keep his covenant. It was they who broke it. They could not keep that covenant. But we see the danger of false prophets when those prophets will take the name of the Lord in vain. And that happens all the time, doesn't it? Yes. Oh yes, there's more than one way that people can take the name of the Lord in vain. And it's never a good thing. And there's yet still another very common way that people take the name of the Lord in vain. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at another way that people take the name of the Lord in vain. Matthew chapter 6. I'm Of course, we know that this chapter is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the most wonderful sermon ever preached, preached by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 tells us, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And you know, a lot of people, they'll do charitable things. They're philanthropists, wealthy men and so forth. Oh, they'll give away millions. But you know, they're just doing it to be seen, to be praised of men, and that is the only reward they're going to get for it. And I tell you what, a lot of those millionaires that give away money, they have a lot more that they could be giving away. "But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." But there's another way that people take the Lord's name in vain, and we're going to look at that right now. Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." You know, there are people who will get up and they will pray, but they do it only to be seen and heard of men. And when they do that, that's another way people take the Lord's name in vain. When you pray, but you don't mean it. Oh, and a lot of that goes on too. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And of course, this isn't a prohibition on praying in public. It's wonderful to pray wherever you are. But we should make sure we never do it to just put on a show, and that's what the Lord Jesus is condemning here. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And that's another way that people take the Lord's name in vain. Vain repetitions, as the heathen do. When they say things, perhaps portions of Scripture, perhaps the Lord's Prayer, they do it over and over again. And it gets to a point where the words no longer have any meaning because they've done it so many times. They go to the Catholic priests, confess their sins to the priest, and he tells them, "Well, go say your Hail Marys and your Our Fathers." So they do that. And when they do that, they're taking the Lord's name in vain. "Vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." But those repetitions are vain. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And you know, there's vain repetitions in a lot of religions where they'll read certain things at certain times, tied to certain festivities. It's always exactly the same, and they just read it. No expounding upon the scriptures. They'll just read that. That's actually very common in Judaism. In fact, they go through their scriptures, but they always read them at specific times. Always exactly the same. Over and over and over again. And they don't really consider it too well. They just read it. Vain repetitions. Of course, we know a lot of religions will have chants. And they'll chant things over and over again. And then you have the Catholics who use vain repetitions so much. Vain repetitions. They get out their rosary beads. And they let their fingers do the walking around those beads. But you know what? When they do those vain repetitions, they're taking the Lord's name in vain. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And then we see here, Jesus is going to give them a template to follow, an example of a prayer. But it doesn't mean that this is the only prayer we can pray. A prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God. And, you know, some people, they'll even use prescribed prayers, pre-written prayers. They have a little prayer book, and they'll say the same things over and over again for certain occasions, vain repetitions. But we see here an example, and I find it so ironic. In this chapter, Jesus specifically says not to use vain repetitions as the heathen. And then he gives an example of this prayer. And what did the Catholics do? They took this prayer and turned it into a vain repetition. But when we look at this prayer in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And yes, his name is hallowed. His name is wonderful. His name is to be magnified. But when someone prays this prayer without really meaning it, when they prayed it so many times that it no longer has any meaning, and they get to that part where it says, "Hallowed be thy name," they're taking the Lord's name in vain. It just becomes a ritual, a custom that they do, but they don't mean it. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And of course, there's nothing wrong with reading these scriptures. There's nothing wrong with reading this prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. But it should never be a vain repetition, as the heathen do. Yes, that's another way that people take the Lord's name in vain. Vain repetitions. But we're going to go now to Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is going to expound upon a little on some of the people who have used his name in vain and the consequences for doing so. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to be starting in verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." You know, you think about it, there's two roads that people are on. And they're either heading, following the Lord Jesus, heading towards heaven, marching upward to Zion, or they're going the other direction on that broad way that leads to destruction. You know, most people choose that way because that's the way that looks easiest. That's the way that looks most exciting. That looks like the best way, the broad way. But we as Christians are not to take the broad way. That broad way leads to destruction. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I still say that these verses should be very sobering. Because Jesus is telling us point blank right here that it is few there be that find it.
Yes.
When we realize the implications of this verse, it means that the majority will not find that eternal life.
Yes.
The majority are on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. But you know what? I've got good news. You don't have to be on that broad way. Be on the straight and narrow. And the way you make sure you're on the straight and narrow is just follow Jesus. Let him lead you. And sometimes we're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through hard things. It's not always easy, but it's always right. But verse 15 tells us, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Oh yes, false prophets. And they take the Lord's name in vain. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Everyone is bringing forth fruit of some kind, but we need to bring forth good fruit. And there are false prophets all over the place out there bringing forth rotten fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice these people. They'll use the Lord's name. They'll say, Lord, Lord. They'll do things in his name. But they're using his name in vain because they do not belong to the Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we see here, yes, they use the name of the Lord, but they're using it in vain. And people might wonder sometimes, they see this verse and they ask, well, how is it that one can cast out devils who doesn't really belong to the Lord? Well, in reality, they're not really casting out devils. It just appears that way sometimes. And as you might recall, at one point, Jesus was accused of using Beelzebub to cast out devils. Of course, we know that wasn't the case. But Jesus turned it around on them and said, who are you using to cast out devils? In other words, he's telling them, it's you who are using Beelzebub. So you'll have these exorcists and so forth who claim they're casting out devils, but they're not really. And actually, that person is going to be worse off than they were before. And they are using the name of the Lord in vain. Oh yes, there are people who will use the name of the Lord, but if they don't belong to the Lord, they might try to prophesy, they might try to cast out devils, they might try to do many wonderful works. And some people out there, it seems like they even have the ability to perform miracles, doesn't it? But they are using the Lord's name in vain. They're frauds. And there's a lot of fraud out there.
Amen.
But I tell you what, there is a day coming when everyone is going to stand before the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And they're not going to be taking his name in vain anymore. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go there now.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 tells us, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And of course, we understand that this is how the church of God needs to operate. This is the mentality we all need to have, esteeming each other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't just care about yourselves. But when your brothers and sisters in Christ are hurting, you're hurting too. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Oh yes, God, manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is worthy of all worship and praise, that wonderful name of Jesus. He took on the form of a servant. But he didn't have to do that.
No, he didn't.
He did that voluntarily. He came to set the example for us, to show us how we should behave. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And of course, we know that the only reason he was able to die on that cross at all was because he took our sins upon himself. If he hadn't done that, he would not have been able to die. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. A name which is above every name, and that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is above all, above every name. And I tell you what, it is a reproach that so many people take that name in vain. We hear it over and over and over again, don't we? And I tell you what, when I hear people do that, it feels like a slap in the face. It's painful to hear that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Oh yes, the day is coming when we are all going to bow before the Lord Jesus. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I tell you what, when that happens, nobody's going to be taking his name in vain anymore. But every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it is so important to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, because when we call him Lord, we are acknowledging that we are subservient to him, that he is our master, and that he has authority over us. And I tell you what, everybody's going to do it one fine day. For us, it's going to be a wonderful thing to have that privilege to profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I tell you what, for a lot of people, for those who have taken his name in vain and have not repented of it, they're going to find themselves in some serious trouble. So we need to remember that third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee, O God, for thy precious word. Thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. And I pray, O God, that thou wilt continue to teach us as we study thy word. Continue to show us new and wonderful things in thy scriptures. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst guide us and direct us. Direct our steps, direct our paths. Help us, O God, that we may never take thy name in vain, but always give thy name honor and glory and praise and worship that it so truly deserves. And I pray, O God, that thou wilt continue to be with us, go with us as we leave here today. Let thy spirit be upon each and every one of us and fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing. Why don't we go to number 122 and sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, number 122 in the chorus book. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. The same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.